We're doing Mishlei. We're up to what they call the seventh chapter. Bini Shemor Amarai. My son, watch over what I tell you. Umitzvotai. Titzpon itach. And hold my mitzvos, conceal them with you. Person should watch over the teachings. Shmor Amarai, one understanding is that's the stories of the Torah. That they also have deep meaning if you think about it. Umitzvotai, and the mitzvos of the Torah, titzponitach, conceal them with you, watch over them, cherish them. Shemo mitzvotai vechyeh, watch my mitzvos and you will live, they will give you life. And watch my Torah, just as you watch the pupil of your eye. Ishon inecha. Ishon is the pupil, and the reason it's called Ishon is because if you look deep into someone's pupil, you'll see a miniature of yourself. A miniature person, an ish is a person. Ishon is like a miniature person. So because you see a miniature person of yourself in someone else's pupil, that's why the pupil is called Ishon. Koshrein al etzbeotecha. Tie my Torah that I teach you. Tie it to your fingers. Kotveim al luach libecha. Write them on the board of your heart. Emola chochma achotiat umoda labinatikra. Emola chochma. Declare about wisdom achotiat. You are my sister. A person's sister is like something that he feels very comfortable with. A sister is a special relationship. It's different than anything else. And there's a comfort level that a person has with a sister that he doesn't have with anyone else. She's not his mother. She's not his daughter. She's not his wife. She's his sister. It's a totally different relationship. Shlomo HaMelech recommends that when it comes to wisdom, you should have that type of relationship like with a sister. You could talk to her, you could consult with her, you're interested in hearing what she has to say, she's non-threatening. Emola chochma, say about wisdom, achotiat, you're my sister, we are close. Umoda labinatikra, and when you talk about understanding, call it like your close relative. Have understanding be something that's close to you. And this is the same concept. Now, it's interesting that at first glance you ask, what's Shlomo HaMelech telling us? We often think that wisdom is something that either you got it or you don't. Some people are smart and some people just aren't. And if we recall, Shlomo HaMelech said that part of what he's trying to do in this book is to teach us how to be smart. Meaning there is the capacity to develop our intellectual acumen. It's up to us. And the first step is our attitude. Do we want to? Do we want to learn? Do we want to grow smarter? Do we want to know more? And Shlomo HaMelech says there has to be that desire, emola chochma achotiat, that a person wants to get close to wisdom. One person spends some of his free time reading. You don't always have to study. You can sometimes get smart by reading other things. Another guy says, what are you interested in doing that for? One guy spends his free time surfing the net. Another guy spends his free time learning a new language. Learning isn't only about Torah. Of course, in Mishlei, the chachma, the wisdom is Torah. But on the simple level, Shlomo HaMelech is talking about all forms of wisdom. A person has to try and be a smart person. It should be one of a person's goals in life. Of course, when a person can be learning Torah, it's good to be learning Torah. There's one of the big rabbis that are still around today, Hashem should grant him longevity. When he has time that he needs to take a break from his learning, So he's a big rabbi here in Israel. I don't know if he wants me to publicize the story about him, so I'm not telling you his name. But he's really one of the giants that are still with us. When he has time that he needs to take a break from his learning, he goes into the English library, and he reads biographies of Talmidei Chacham and Tzadikim in English. And now this is a person that swallows books. Whenever you give him a book that you want him to give a letter of approbation, skama, so he gives it back to you 2 days later with comments, with footnotes. He, in Hebrew, he swallows books one after another. So He figures when he needs to take a break, he'll do something that's Torah-oriented, and he'll develop his skills in knowing another language with which he could teach, with which he could communicate. Emor lachochma achotiyat. Person should say about wisdom, you're my sister. Chazal tell us, there are certain things in life that are clear to us. Person knows that his sister is prohibited on him. He can't marry his sister. My little kid sometimes, my little daughter will tell my son, I'm going to marry you. And he says, no you won't. Torah says he can't. Okay, so now she knows too. Chazal tell us, emor lachochma, when you say something that you think is smart, you should only say it when it's a chotiyat, when it's as clear to you as your sister that's prohibited to you. You know she's your sister, you know she's prohibited, those things are clear. By the same token, a person should be hesitant when speaking and think, do I know that what I've said is correct? If I know it as clearly as that, I should say it. And if not, then I should realize that I don't really know. I don't have that form of wisdom. When I was a kid, it always bothered me. I always used to say, if there's one thing you don't know, it's who your sister is. You don't know who your parents are. You have to take it on faith. They tell you they're your parents. Okay, you know. You didn't witness it. You could see your two siblings. You could see other things and say, I know. But do you really know? A woman knows who her son is. So if the Torah said, a woman, like a woman knows her son, that's how certain you have to be about wisdom, then I'd understand the Pasuk. Why does it say it about a sister? So years later, it dawned on me that that's exactly what the Pasuk's saying. Yes, there are levels of doubt which you could shed about anything. Anything you say, you could say, but maybe not. But maybe it's not what you think. Maybe she's not really your sister. Chazal say that we're not worried about. If that's how confident you are, that's confident enough. You know, you don't need to know more than that. Pasuk hey. Lishmocha meisha zarah. The Torah will protect you from a foreign woman, a woman of ill repute. Minochriya amareya echelika. From a foreign woman who speaks smoothly. Now, the simple reading here is that it's very tempting for a person not to be faithful to his home. And the Torah is going to help train a person that he doesn't go after that temptation. And if you doubt that there's that temptation out there, all you got to do is open up the newspaper. I was standing in the U.S. online in a supermarket, and after a minute I realized there was nowhere I could put my eyes, because all the newspapers there that are lining out the checkout aisle all had pictures. He's cheating on her, she's cheating on him. Those are the pictures, newspaper after newspaper. That's all they're talking about. So the temptation is real and it's out there. The Pasuk says, on the basic level, the Torah will protect you from that basic sin against humanity. When a person breaks that foundation, when a person breaks the home, so he's not only hurting himself and the woman who's supposed to be dearest to his life, he's also hurting his children. And he is making a breach in something that's fundamental to a moral human life. So on the basic level, the Pasuk saying, yes, there's a very real temptation out there, and Torah is the cure. Torah is what's going to keep you from that foreign woman. And you should know, Amarei Achelika. And the Navi will continue now for quite a few psukim with a very vivid description of how the foreign woman can be enticing. And the simple reading of these psukim is that this is all talking about the natural temptations that are out there for a married person. On a deeper level, Chazal said that throughout Mishle, when Shlomo HaMelech speaks about the foreign woman, he's talking about foreign philosophies. And Shlomo's talking to intelligent people as well as fools. The smarter a person is, the more attracted he is to other philosophies. The more a person thinks, the more he's tempted to start questioning what he thinks he knows. If you're a thinking person, then part of your being, part of your religious life, is that questions keep coming up. People who don't think don't have questions. Most of the world doesn't think. They don't think, they don't have real answers, but they also don't have real questions. Life is very easy. Look in Rav Saadia Gaon, you look in the Rishonim and in the Gaonim, whenever they start their philosophical works, they say, you the reader, beware. Most people are not interested. They're not interested in the questions or the answers or the philosophies. They want to continue the life they know. But when a person is thinking, so then it's natural that part of thinking is questioning. And part of questioning is the temptation to start entertaining that maybe this is wrong and something else is right. And Shlomo HaMelech repeatedly tells us that if you delve in Torah and you work with the Torah, then the Torah will help you from making that terrible error. So Chazal always told us, as we'll see in the Pesukim in Mishlei as well, Chazal said, and on the surface this is a little bit difficult to understand, but if you think about it more, you'll see that there's a lot to it. Chazal said that if you've gotten something right, you don't have to look at everything else that's wrong to prove that this is right. Not only that, Chazal said it can be very tempting, as we will see the Pesukim describe, it can be very tempting for a person to go down the other road. The Torah can often feel like it is constricting. I'd much rather do other things. When Hashem told Am Yisrael they're limited with who they may marry, when they can't be so promiscuous, they went out on a rampage. They were complaining. They were crying. They were upset. It was much more fun to be limited to the Noahites. Why can't I just have the Noahide laws? Suddenly I can't marry my aunt. Suddenly I can't do everything I'd like to do. And there are a few things at play. Number one, we're human. And our emotions can sometimes get the better of us. So if I desperately want something, and most of us do, and it could be honor, it could be promiscuity, those are the big two, so then that helps me formulate, or at least feel like I'm formulating, stronger questions against the religion. So that's problem number one. I'm not looking at things objectively. I should, and sometimes I could, but very often, even though I've clarified something, I'm going to attack it again and again because I would much rather come to a different conclusion. So that's what Maimonides writes, that many philosophers were so smart, but they didn't get it because they were still busy with the mundane and the physical, and they didn't want to get it deep down inside. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is that you never know when you'll hear a claim that will sound right. And you won't have the answer to that claim for many, many years. As smart as we are limited to where we are today. And where we are today, we might not yet have the answers for everything. And so Chazal themselves said, based on different psukim in Mishlei that we're about to read, where the pasuk describes, don't walk next to the door of a prostitute, run away when she comes after you. Why run away? Just stand your ground and say, I'm not interested. Because this second you're not interested, but it could be that in 2 seconds you will be interested. So Chazal said, walk away, don't even go by your doorway. By the same token, Chazal said foreign philosophies, and the analogy is more than just an analogy, as we explained a minute ago. Chazal said foreign philosophies have great potential to tempt us, and that's why Chazal did not invite debates. Quite the contrary, they ran away from them. And when the early Christians would come and try to question them, many of Chazal would run away from it. Because they realized you don't always have all the answers. That doesn't mean that what you're doing isn't right. It just means you, right now you might not have the answers to everything. So Chazal encouraged us not to enter the debates. Verify that what you know is true. Verify it as much as you can. But verifying it doesn't mean I have to go and explore every filth that's out there. Yeah. So that's a good question. Later tonight, if you want to bring it up in the question and answer session, I'll be happy to discuss it. That's already too off topic. Remind me, we'll get back to that. Pasuk Vav. Ki bechalon beiti be'adesh nabi nishkafti. Shlomo HaMelech is now developing this allegory. And the allegory that Shlomo HaMelech is developing is about a seductive woman. And he will go into great detail describing how she tries to seduce someone. And Maimonides, in the beginning of the Guide to the Perplexed, in the beginning of the Mor Nevuchim, brings these verses as the example of the following concept. Maimonides says when we have allegories in Tanakh, there are two types of allegories. There are allegories where every word means something else, and you have to analyze every word. What does it represent? And then there are allegories that are coming to give you one thought, one message, but Chazal painted it in a long picture. And the Rambam says this, that we're about to read, you're going to see many descriptions about this seductive woman. You have to realize that they're all really just painting one picture with one message, without going into too many details of understanding. But why did it say this detail and that detail? The Rambam says it doesn't work that way. Sometimes in Tanakh, the Navi just gives you one thought, but he portrays it in a colorful picture. So he gives you a lot of details to the picture, even though it's not like each detail teaches you something else. So that's the Rambam's understanding in these verses. And so going with the Rambam, we'll run through these psukim. Remember that Chazal taught us that the seductive woman is repeatedly a reference to the philosophies that would seduce a person away from Judaism. So he describes, I was looking out my window, Vayireva pitaim, avina vabanim, nal chasar lev. I looked over the lads. I understood among the kids. And there I saw a lad who was lacking a heart. I'm telling you to gain a heart. I'm telling you to gain the wisdom I'm offering you. But here's what I've seen. I've seen that there was fools, pitaim, fools. I looked among the lads. I saw a lad lacking a heart. Over bashuk etzel pina, passing in the marketplace, and he went by the corner where the seductive woman was standing. V'derech beita yitzad, and then he stomped through her home. B'neshef be'erev yom, he went through her home when people wouldn't see him. It was the late afternoon. It was the evening. Beishon laila va'afela. He went to her home specifically in the darkness of night when everything was shadowed. You couldn't see him. And so I was watching all of this and I saw the woman coming towards him. And she was dressed like a prostitute and she was nitsurat lev. She was entrapping of hearts. Meaning, her goal was to entrap his heart. Remember, that's what Shlomo HaMelech is repeatedly describing here. Homiyai v'soraret. She makes noise. She tries to attract people, and so she makes her sounds. V'soraret, and she speaks seductive things to attract them. Biveta lo yishkenu raglea. And she doesn't let her feet rest at home the way modest women do that they're at home. She's outside because she's trying to seduce people. Pa'am bachutz, pa'am barchovot, ve'etzel kol pinah terov. Sometimes she walks outside in the marketplaces. Sometimes she walks in the streets. She's always chasing, trying to find her lovers. And she stands by every corner waiting in ambush. Maybe she'll attract someone. And so I saw her grab him and kiss him. And she was brazen. She strengthened her face. She had no shame. And she said to him, Zivchei shilamim alai hayom shilamti nidarai. She says, I had a responsibility to bring my sacrifices. And look, today I brought my sacrifices. Come be holy. Have some of my sacrifices. She's inviting him. There's always in that seductive scene, there's always some mitzvah lurking. So she invites him. She says, I'm not just inviting you to eat a meal with me. Come join me from my sacrifice meal. Al kein yatzati likratecha. Because I have meat to eat. That's why I went out to greet you. L'shachir panecha v'emtzeika. That's why I went to greet you and I found you. Marvadim ravati alsihi. You know, I put all kinds of ornaments around my bed. Chatuvot etun mitzrayim. And I spread the bed with straight sheets. And the sheets are of the finest linen that I brought in from Egypt. Nafti mishkavihi. Mar aholim vekinamon, and I sliced across the bed all the different types of perfumes. Lecha nirve dodim ad haboker. Come, let's be lovebirds till the morning. Nita lesa ba'ohavim, and let us be happy with love. Ki en ha'ish beveito, and don't worry about my husband, he's not around. Halach b'derech meirachok. He's gone on a long journey. Don't worry, he's not going to bother us. So what? Again, what?
Like those magazines you said you saw in the store.
From here we learn about
I don't remember this being the source. What is the correspondence among the nations? They tell us, come to us. Look at how wealthy we are. Look at how good we have it. You Jews are suffering. Look at us. The husband has left the home. God has left the temple. He's left the Jewish people. It's time to join the new world, join the new religions. And this has been the claims throughout our exiles, where the nations say, come. Come, it's holy. We'll also sacrifice. We have good meat to give you. All we want is what's good for you. And so the woman, the seductive woman, is a play on the seductive philosophies, the seductive religions. Come and join us. We'll make it good for you. How many virgins do they promise the bombers? I don't know. 72. Okay. So we have a lot to offer you. We'll make it good for you. Well, love. Lecha nirveh todim ad haboker. She says to him, we will just spend the night loving one another. And we will nit'alesa, we will be filled with happiness, ba'avim, with love. Don't worry, the man's not home. He's gone on a long journey. And that's a reference to God. Siro hakesef lakach biyado. Don't worry if he'll come in the middle of the night. He took his wallet with him. He has the money. And it's going to take him a while until he finishes his wallet. Leyom hakesef yavo veito. And the only time I expect him back is we set a time. We have a holiday when he's going to return. He's not coming back beforehand. So don't worry. We have time, and let's go have time together. Tzoror hakesef lakach biyado. What did the other philosophies say? Whatever good was left among you guys, he took. When the Crusades came, when the temple was destroyed, any good Jews that were left were killed. Don't worry, he's not interested in the Jewish people anymore. The husband went off. The husband took whatever money he had. And that's a reference to how God left, they claimed God left the Jewish people, and he took whatever good Jews were around at the time. Tzor ha-kesef lakach biyado. He took the wallet of money in his hand. Tzor literally means the knot. That they used to tie their money in a sack, in a little satchel, and a little piece of cloth, so that's tzor hakesef. Hitatu berov likha. And Shlomo HaMelech says, I was witnessing this whole correspondence, this whole discussion, and I saw that she convinced him with the teachings that she sold him. Hitatu. She was able to sway him, she was able to convince him, berov likha. With her continuous teaching, she kept telling him, and she's accustomed to seducing people, so she knew how to do it. Bechelek sifateha tadichenu. With her smooth talking, she was able to get him to come off the correct path. Holech achareha pitom. And Shlomo HaMelech says, you know, the guy who follows her is going to suddenly find himself kishol el tevach yavo, like the ox that comes to be slaughtered. Did you guys ever see how they slaughter animals? It's a very interesting thing how they do it today. The way I saw them do it today, they have a corral, and all the animals are running around in the corral. And then they have this little tunnel, and at the end of the tunnel, there's a chute that's a short chute the size of the animal's neck, and they're standing outside that tunnel. They have a worker standing there and the guy who's going to slaughter the animal. The animal runs around the corral and then they push it into that dark room. It looks in the dark room and it sees a light at the end of the tunnel, so it runs towards that and sticks its head out. When it sticks its head out, suddenly the guy grabs its head from behind, pulls its head up, holds its head up, and the shochet, the slaughterer, comes and slices the neck, slaughters it. So here the animal's running around, it's having the time of its life, running around the corral, eating, drinking, and suddenly, in 1 second, it's dead. Pitom, suddenly, kishovel tevach yavo, like the ox that suddenly finds itself walking into the slaughterhouse.
So the
Oh,
right,
that's... Uch e'eches el musar evil. And just like the poison of the snake rushes quickly to afflict those that are sinners. When Hashem sends a snake to bite a sinner, so the poison quickly comes and does its job. So just like the ox that quickly, suddenly finds himself being slaughtered, the person who's been bitten by the snake quickly finds himself dying, so too the guy who follows him will quickly find himself ad yefalach keitz kivedo. He'll quickly find himself that an arrow will slice off his liver. When an arrow slices off the liver, the guy can't live. We all need a liver. So what Shlomo HaMelech is saying, the liver is where you process the blood, right? It's the lifeline of a human. Well, filters the blood, fine. She is really slicing off his lifeline. He has earned some merits in this world, and in that quick movement, in that seductive second, well, she is slicing off his liver. She's slicing off his portion in the world. Just like a bird, when it sees the trap, it sees all the little seeds in the trap. And it doesn't think about the trap. It just swoops down. Oh, good, free food. And it rushes into the trap to get the free seeds. And it doesn't realize, kivinafshohu, that the bird is going to pay for those seeds with its life. Now that it's caught by the trap, they're going to kill it. By the same token, this guy is rushing after this woman and he doesn't realize, just like the bird rushing after the seeds, that it's going to cost him his life. And that's the end of the allegory. Shlomo HaMelech says, I watched, I saw, and I saw the fool who was seduced by her. I'm telling you, listen to my Torah, because the Torah will prevent you from being that fool. The Torah will keep you in line. And we said that any intelligent person has thoughts and has moments when he can be seduced philosophically. We're not even talking about the woman. And there's, in all the psukim, there's the literal meaning, that it's normal that a person can be seduced literally, like the Navi portrays it, or the deeper meaning, philosophically.
So
sons, listen to me. Listen to what I'm telling you. Don't let your heart veer to her path. Your heart shouldn't turn off the path to go to that woman of ill repute. And don't go off the path to go to her path. And again, the dual meaning. Ki rabim chalalim hi pihila va'atzumim kol arugeha. That's what Chazal tell us. Ki rabim chalalim hi pihila. Because she has downed so many corpses. Va'atzumim kol arugeha. And there's such a great number of people that she's killed. Very often a person tells himself, it won't happen to me, I got nothing to worry about, don't worry about me. You guys know the story. I went for a meeting in Tel Aviv. I told you a story. I once went for a meeting and I asked them, how do I get back to the bus station? They told me, just go down here and then you make a left and you're there. So I start going down that street and after 1 minute I see I'm in the bad neighborhood. So I figure, okay, that's right here. I go another block and I say, no, this is like the whole block. What's going on here? So I made a turn off that block. And now I'm in a dark alleyway. And three guys start following me on their bikes. Now that doesn't look too good. So I walk into an electric shop that was still open. And I ask him, I say, what's going on here? The neighborhood doesn't seem like a neighborhood I would want to be in. He says, right. It's not a neighborhood you would want to be in. And then he starts telling me, but once upon a time, this was a good kosher neighborhood. When we started here, it was a good kosher neighborhood. So I stayed in the shop till the guys with the bikes decided I wasn't worth waiting for. And then I asked them for directions, a new way to get to the bus stops. I took a long route around just to get there. Now, you tell yourself, why, well, you're worried about yourself? You know, you're not interested, you're married, this isn't right. Chazal said, don't trust yourself. So Shlomo HaMelech tells us on the simple level, you have to realize that there were a lot of big people who were taken down by this. And all you have to do is look at the news the last week, month, year, 5 years, 10 years. Look at all of history. You see that that's the nature of humanity. Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Letzato, wrote a whole poem about Samson and Delilah. And in the end of the poem, he has Samson's long speech where Samson describes, how was I taken down by a woman? So even the great Samson, as powerful as he was, he could take down so many Philistines, but a woman could take him down. So every person has to know that the nature of humanity is that we can be taken down by that. Chazal tell us a very interesting limud on this pasuk. Chazal have an interesting derivation on the pasuk. Chazal say the pasuk is also referring to the Torah itself. So why does the Torah kill a person? Chazal say, when it comes to Torah, so then there are two diametrically opposed desires. There's the desire to teach, when one doesn't yet know enough. There's the desire to give halachic ruling, when one doesn't yet know enough. And that's, ki rabim chalalim hipila. There are so many people who are corpses, because they tried to give halachic ruling, and they didn't know enough to give halachic ruling. And yet it's killed all impressive, massive, awesome people. That's talking about the other side of the coin, where you have big people who were fit to teach and didn't start teaching. They didn't give halachic ruling, even though they were fit for it, so then they get killed by the Torah too. Meaning the Torah demands of us a certain balance. Don't go giving halachic ruling if you don't know enough, and if you do know enough and you don't give halachic ruling, then the Torah holds that against the person as well. And Chazal said this pasuk teaches us that balance, that a person has to know both. Darchei she'ol beita yoredot el chadrei mavet. Her house seems sweet, but a person has to know that when he is walking down the path to the house, the footsteps really take him down to death. And so Shlomo HaMelech has this long-winded allegory which we just read about how the seductive woman can take a person down, in that dual understanding, be it the woman, be it the philosophies. And Shlomo HaMelech began the chapter with the advice, the cardinal advice, watch the Torah, watch the mitzvos, recognize that this is wisdom, and it will protect you from going down that path. And we'll just read another pasuk or two to end on a good note. Halo chokhma tikra utvuna titen kolah. It's not so hard. Wisdom's always calling. The Torah always is attracting you and says, I want you to listen. I want you to hear what I have to say. Halo chokhma tikra. Doesn't wisdom call out to you? Utvuna titen kola. And understanding makes its voice heard. Berosh meromim alei daharech beit netivot nitzava. The wisdom is standing. Berosh meromim. It's standing. It's as though it's standing on top of the mountains calling out. Alei daharech. It's standing by the place where people are found, Beit Nitivot Nitzava. The wisdom makes itself available for people. If you only want Torah, it's readily available. It's up to a person to find it, but the Torah keeps making itself accessible and says, come, whoever is passing by, come hear what I have to say. And we'll pick up here, Bezrat Hashem, next time.